Prayer. Our gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, come before you tonight, and I thank you for your confidence in my ministry, Lord, that you would have me to preach. And it's been back and forth the last couple of nights, and Lord, I just wanted to know your will on it, and so I take it that this is your will, Lord, because you closed down the other that prepared this message. So, Father, we just commit our service to thee, and we ask that you bless it. Be with the people tonight, Lord, as we would examine your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May we see that this message I was working on last night, and I was getting very excited about it, and I thought, well, maybe I should have a lot of notes here, and got about into the end of the page, into the second page, and our electricity went out, which meant that I couldn't work on my sermon last night, so I went to bed about 9 o'clock, which is nice because I haven't got to bed early for a long time. But, so I thought, well, okay, the Lord wants me to play Brother Bill's tape. So, now tonight we start playing the tape and there's no voice. Ron, let me know when you go through the audio, if there's audio on that. So, I guess you know the best scripture we could turn to begin with before I actually start the sermon here is in 1 Corinthians, and reading from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, let's see here. And is verse 16, the first half. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, sometimes we just don't know, Lord. We don't want to play a Russian roulette with your word, but yet we know that simply you put a burn in our heart, you place within us, Lord, a desire, and we have to trust that that desire comes from you because it lines up with your word. Your prophet said that there are three ways that we know if it's from God. He said, first of all, the Lord quickens it to your heart. Secondly, he reveals it in his word. And thirdly, it comes to pass. And so, Father, we pray that you would anoint this process in our life, that it would be quickened to our heart, the desire would just be burning up, that we'd find it in your word, that it's okay, and then you would bring it to pass, thus knowing that that is your word manifested to us. And so, Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that as far as the doctrine is concerned, we have, thus saith the Lord, we have a vindicated prophet. We don't have to guess it anymore. They guess throughout all the ages, but Father, we know that you have come in this hour and declared it. Your prophet didn't know, he didn't know anything, like we don't know anything, until you spoke it to him. And he was made in such a way to be able to hear your voice and then to give it back to us. And so, Lord, we're thankful for that, and we ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight as we would reflect upon what you've done in this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to continue with paragraph 42 of Who's This Melchizedek. Brother Branham said, notice, like the sculptor, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God's done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid, and it's supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says that they would be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundations of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we could see it. I just stop and think for just a moment. Throughout the entire ages, no one, absolutely no one, knew outside of Jesus Christ what we know today. No one. Moses didn't. Noah didn't. Isaiah didn't. And the Lord has kept it hid, the full details of the mystery, until this hour. He took the mask off. He said it's been all hid since the foundations of the world and was ordained to have the mask taken off in this day. Just think of that. The great intellectual giants of the Wesleyan era. And all they could do is guess at it. The great scholars who knew the Greek, who knew the Hebrew, who knew the Aramaic, and yet they could only guess at it. And in many cases, they were wrong. And then out of the backwoods of Kentucky comes a little man with hardly an eighth grade education, and he comes forth with, "Thus saith the Lord." And all the mysteries that were covered over, all the mysteries that had been hidden since the foundations of the world, were made plain, revealed, through a ministry that was spurned because of a lack of education. What a laugh! But the joke is on them. The haughty and the puffed up church institutions who rejected the outward appearance and did not judge righteous judgment. You hear them on the radio, they say, "Well, we shouldn't judge." We shouldn't. Doesn't the scripture say that the saints shall judge the earth? And yet, when Jesus said, "Judge not," he said, "Judge not according to the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment, that which is right." Now in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," those that are mature, that are complete, those that are well of age, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world," that comes to naught. That means nothing. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Their actions proved they didn't know diddly squat. On Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we read, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of that hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Hallelujah. I wonder sometimes, you know, I've heard men preach on the new name, and they build up the sermon, build it, and then they get done, and you say, you scratch your head and say, "What do you say? What is that new name?" The only new name I'm interested in is knowing that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Jehovah of the Old Testament received a new name, Jesus of the New, Jehovah Savior. Now in Matthew 11:25 we read, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes," such as will learn. Brother Branham said, "Now the Bible says that they would be revealed in the latter time. It's like the sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time that he takes the mask off of it, and there it is." And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundations of the world, and its sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we would see it. Now, Brother Branham's talking about the apocalypsis. The word apocalypsis means uncovered or uncovering. It used mostly in the scripture is translated as the word revelation or reveal. Now, we have a tendency, however, when using the word revelation, to think only in terms of having a mental concept or idea. This word apocalypse goes far beyond simply having an understanding. In addition to the concept of understanding, it also places an emphasis on the source of that understanding and the reason that one is able to understand. The revelation is therefore induced. By an unveiling, it is induced by an uncovering that gives the revelation life. I like what Brother Branham said last week as we read. He said that the vision strikes. How do you put it? The light strikes the vision. The light strikes the vision. The enmorph is when the light strikes the vision. I kind of look at the vision as being the, like we have the film here, you can kind of see the light coming out from the source, and when it strikes, there's your enmorph. And we're looking at an uncovering of something. Now the fact is, God's invisible. God's invisible. How in the world, if Jesus Christ was the enmorph, right? He was the enmorph of God. God was enmorphed in Jesus, in Melchizedek, in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. Then how was God the revelation, the mystery, the hidden mystery, how was it unmasked in this hour? Think about that. We're talking about the apocalypse of God. The mighty God unveiled before us, as Brother Graham preached. I believe when Brother Branham says that he was unmasked for the purpose that we might stand before him, as we find in 1 Corinthians 13, in reading verse 9 through verse 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And Brother Branham said, we have by God's grace today the perfect, revealed, vindicated word. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And the word face there is the Greek word enprosthen, and it means presence. When I'm standing in front of you, Michael, and I look you right in the eyes, it's because we're face to face, it means we're in each other's presence. So he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, then presence to presence. Now we know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, that's a whole other sermon. So what is this mask that was unveiled? That actually, the taking off of the mask led to the unveiling of God. Now think of this. The mask has always been the enmorph. Is that right? The mask is the enmorph. Did Brother Branham say that the word enmorph means changing his mask? He said that in the same sermon. So we have a mask. What was the mask in Abraham's day? The mask was Melchizedek. What was the mask in Moses' day? Well, we had the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud.
And we had the backside of God. Let's say backside of His presence.
Paul's day.
The math was the pillar of fire. But in Jesus' day, it was Jesus.
Body.
Yeah, the body. Notice a body. Melchizedek was a body. One, two, our day.
What was it?
A body. Three exoduses. There was a pillar of fire and a body. Paul's day, he had pillar of fire, and he had the body of Jesus. He had Melchizedek, and he had that pillar of fire. Okay. Now,
but the mask is something that God could use that was visible. As John said, let's just turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, we know that's the Word, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. What do you hear? You hear the Word. Which we've seen with our eyes. Oh, now we're looking at something else. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The mask, the Word of life. For the life was manifested. That's the mask. That's the immorph. And we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested and morphed unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said, notice like the sculptor, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God's done to this age. Alright, so we find in this age, God hid with a mask over it. Pillar of fire. Cloud. Like in Moses' day. See? And through a prophet. That's what God's done to this age. It's been hid. All these things have been hid. And it's supposed to be revealed in this age. Now the Bible says they would be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time that he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundations of the world, and a sevenfold mystery, and God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, that He would take the mask off the whole thing, and we would see it. Now,
here's the mask. Here's the mask. Here's the mask. Now, in Alpha, here's the mask. Jesus.
When Jesus stood there in their presence, the mask, in their presence, did they get it? No. What did God do in the Alpha? He took the mask off. And the veil was rent in two when the mask was taken off. The veil in the temple wasn't rent until the mask was taken off. Is that right? And when the mask was taken off the scene, down come the pillar of fire and revealed that God had been in that mask, behind that mask. In this hour,
when William Branham was here,
God used him, spoke through him, revealed His great mighty works through him, but not a person had a clue. While he was here. Brother Vail will tell you, he said, I wish I knew then what I know now. But what happened? God removed the mask. And when the mask is removed, what happens? Michael, say this is a mask. We've got a couple eyes here, right? What happens when I remove the mask? You can see me face to face. Why is it that the majority of the people in the message, I don't say this detrimentally, I just say this for fact, why is it that they cannot understand who's here? Because they're still focused on the mask. And yet the mask has been removed. Brother Branham, many places, said, you know, he said, he's going to take me off the scene. He said, I'm just here to prepare the way for that other one. If he comes, when he comes. And people thought, well, that's Joseph. Some men were bold enough in the 60s to proclaim that that was them. I believe, as Brother Neville brought out, he said, he's already here. He introduces to Christ the Word. Now, in the Church Age book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, Brother Branham said, now the Greek word for revelation is the word apokalypsis, which means an unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. We therefore see that the unveiling itself is the stimulus for the revelation. Before the unveiling is the action that reveals, once hidden, but now brought into plain view. This is the essence of apocalypsis. Had God not taken Brother Branham off the scene, we'd still be focusing on the mask. But the fact is that God took him off the scene, it had to shake the people up, and it did. They had to ask themselves, what was this all about? What was the mask all about? What was this vessel, this prophet? What's it all about? And I believe by the grace of God, he's using this humble ministry and others, Brother Vail, to help the bride of Jesus Christ see what that was all about. When people read the book on the parousia and the Godhead, and they write and they say, you know, I've been in the message for 20 years. 20 years. And all I knew was God sent a prophet. And now, when I've read these books, the message is a completely new message to me. And so is my Bible. I see it everywhere. That's the same feeling I had back in the early 80s. When I begin to see these things and recognize, it's a completely different message than the church that I've been associated with taught. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 32, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to apocalypsis the Gentiles, a light to unveil to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. The King James Version uses a light to apocalypsis the Gentiles, which is actually to enlighten or reveal to them. But if you'll notice the wording, it lets you know that this enlightening from this light comes as a result of the light being prepared before and manifested openly to the people of Israel. A light is always thought of as that which manifests. In Ephesians 5:13, Paul says, "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." In fact, Brother Branham said in the indictment, page 9, he said, "And today by the light of the gospel reflecting from a light, a pillar of fire visibly among us." This shows that the light or message has its source in the unveiled presence of Christ among us. Simeon had already received revelation by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Christ, but he was still unsure of who it would be or in what fashion it would come. He did not know this until he came into the presence of Jesus Christ himself, and God revealed it to him. Now, our examination of the Scripture and Brother Ram's quotes on the unveiling will hopefully allow us to see the difference between revelation as an entity of its own and revelation as it comes forth from this great unveiling. This unveiling brings into view not only that which was hidden from view, but it is also brings into light and puts an emphasis on those hidden attributes and characteristics that are so essential in fully disclosing the true nature and person of Christ. My thoughts on this is that so many people, they talk about revelation, and it's something that they intuitively came up with, you know. Oh, the Lord revealed this to me. All of a sudden, it just clicked. You know, brother, sister, that's not the way God reveals. It's not something that has to do with you. It's something that has to do with a process. And the process is this. God does something, and in doing that something, it's a light. It's an understanding. It's an opening. Revelation is not a mental faculty. Revelation is not a gift. Revelation is God and what He is doing, and His giving you the opportunity to be focused upon what He's doing. And as you are focused upon what He's doing, it strikes the vision. It strikes the vision, as Brother Brown said. Not that it dawns on you, not that suddenly a light clicks on, but you're seeing it. And you're reading the Word, and the Word says this, and you look, and there it is. That's unveiling. That's God interpreting His Word by what? Bringing it to pass. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the apocalypsis, there was given unto me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul speaks here not only of the abundance of the revelation he received from the unveiling of the Holy Spirit, but the revelation also came as a result of the pillar of fire manifesting himself to Paul alone. Remember, the other men did not see the pillar of fire, only Paul saw it. And Paul was blinded by it long enough for God to get a hold of him. And each of us who has come into the light of this hour have experienced the same thing, in that this Word temporarily blinds us in a way which we must stop and re-examine our doctrine, or as the man wrote to me, he said, "It turned my thinking upside down." This is why the parousia of Christ is so important. We see the Bible in a new way. and the Word becomes alive to us, and we become established in the present day truth. And Brother Branham posted above his pulpit the words, "Be still and know." Because we must stop and be still before we can properly know and understand. "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the apocalypse, there was given unto me a thorn in my flesh." I hate my physical nature. I hate it. There's not a thing about it I like. But I love the desire in my heart to feed upon God's Word. Now God talked to Paul face to face, pillar of fire to Paul. "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." It's hard, Paul, for you to kick against the prick. Kick against the prick. In other words, kick against the thorns. Yeah, you're going to get stung. God knocked him off his horse. It's high horse. Paul got a little bit out of hand. He got a little